Okay.
Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 5th of March, 2018, Sunday at Wu Ping Ching Sen. And we are at our 69th lesson of this 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. So we will now commence our puja. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Siin Pusa. Namo Guan Siin Pusa. Namo Guan Siin Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micacara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapamadatana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Just maintain some form of attentiveness, then we will start our lesson 69 of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. Turn to the page before page 1. We will recite the verse for opening the sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we will continue from where we stopped. We were at page 337. Okay, this is chapter 8. The sudden and the gradual. The title refers to enlightenment. A lot of cultivators, they are not sure about how enlightenment can come about. So there is this often discuss about topic, whether enlightenment is sudden or gradual. Then some they say it can be gradual, it can be sudden, depending on how the conditions and situation. What is most important is when you understand, you will come to a clear understanding that the enlightenment is immediate, it's not really gradual. People explain it as gradual because they think you have to practice. You have to gradually practice, 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 or cultivate, cultivate, cultivate. Then gradually, one day, you become enlightened. So this is what most people believe in. That's why you have the gradual school. Then they have the other one. They say the sudden school. Means you can become enlightened suddenly, immediately. So this has been quite a topic for discussion by many cultivators, but very few people understand. The reason why I say enlightenment is always sudden or immediate is without wisdom you cannot awaken. Then the moment you awaken, the wisdom is there. And wisdom doesn't come about gradually. Wisdom is an insight. The moment you insight, you awaken, that is what enlightenment is all about. You awaken to the truth. And that wisdom is not a knowledge. It's not from the thought process. It will not go away. It will be connected to the form and mind. And the form of mind that is connected to this wisdom or understanding is never deluded anymore after that. So that is the aspect you have to bear in mind. Now we go into the commentary and we see what they have to say. So the first paragraph commentary, sudden refers to immediate understanding, like I explained to you just now, of the teaching or principle. You may be suddenly enlightened to a principle, but until you have been certified as one who is fully enlightened, you still must cultivate the principle gradually by putting it into practice in daily life. So this is Xuan Hua's understanding. He explained it this way. To him, all enlightenment need to be certified. Because it's an old tradition. It's an old tradition. So during the olden days, the tradition is you normally seek your teacher or somebody who is famous enough or qualified enough to certify you. So they will go and seek certification. This is what most people believe in. So they want to be sure. They need people to certify them. It's just like in our modern society. If you want to become a graduate, you need to be certified by an institution, a university. So So the requirement can be different. But for university degree, it's normally they have a syllabus for you. You have to do certain type of coursework. Then you have to pass certain exam. Then after that, if you pass beyond those exam marks, then they will certify you as a graduate from that university. Then they will give you a degree to the effect. But cultivation, like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So if you understand that aspect of the Dhamma, then you will understand that the wise one who has awakened or become enlightened, they don't need certification because it can be realized by the wise for themselves. So the form and mind that is connected will understand what this is. It doesn't need anybody to certify them. So that is the difference between what Xuanhua understand and the people during that time, that era. But for cultivator who truly understand the Buddha Dhamma, from the salutation to the Dhamma which the Buddha proclaimed, you will know there is no need for certification because the form and mind that is connected, that has awakened, will understand. So we keep in mind this understanding, then we move on. So the sutta said, while the patriarch was staying at Paoling Temple in Shaoshi, is it correct? Shaoshi? Shaoshi or Shaoshi? Shaoshi. Never mind. The great master Shen Xiu was at what temple is it? Yuquan. Yuquan. Yuquan Temple in Jingnan. At that time, the two schools flourished, and everyone called them the Southern Neng and the Northern Xiu. Oh, Hui Neng and Shen Xiu. Southern Neng and the Northern Xiu. Bei Xiu, Nan Neng, Bei Xiu. Yeah, now I know already. So these are the two famous schools. So it was that the two schools, North and South, were divided into Southern and Gradual. Now I understand. As the student did not understand the doctrine, the master said to them, the Dhamma is originally one school. That is what I want you to understand. It is people who think of North and South. This explanation is correct. The Dhamma is of one kind, but people understand it slowly or quickly. Dhamma is not sudden or gradual. Rather, it is the people who are sharp or dull. Hence, the term sudden and gradual. So this part, you have to read with understanding. When the sutta say, Dhamma is not sudden or gradual, rather, it is the people who are sharp or dull. So this one refers to the cultivator, understand not? If you are very sharp, you can awaken immediately, like Hui Ning. The moment he heard truth, he awakened. But if you are dull, it will take you more time. So that is what the sutta is trying to tell you. Hence, the term sudden and gradual comes about. Nevertheless, Shen Xiu's follower continuously ridiculed the Southern Patriarch, saying that he couldn't read a single word and nothing in his favor, and had nothing in his favor. But Shen Xiu said he has obtained the wisdom without the aid of a teacher and understand the Supreme Vehicle deeply. I am inferior to him. Furthermore, my master, the fifth patriarch, personally transmitted the rope and Dhamma to him, and not without good reason. I regret that I am unable to make the long journey to visit him, as I am unworthily sorry, as I unworthily receive state patronage here. But do not let me stop you. Go to Cao Si and call on him. So this is a very good way to establish the clear understanding. Well, since you also finally come to understand, his title come from the state, means the country awarded by the emperor. Whereas the fifth patriarch award or transmitted the patriarchship to the southern school, which is Hui Neng. So since you admitted that, he is not as bright as Hui Neng. That's why there is a good reason why the fifth patriarch transmitted the patriarchship to Hui Neng. Then he told his follower, I will not stop you. You should go to Hui Neng's place and call upon him. So this is a very, very friendly approach. So as to avoid any misunderstanding or argument. Well, initially, the front part of the sutta, the follower of the northern school, Shen Xiu, they tend to comment because they want to glorify their northern school. So what they said is, the southern school, the master, Hui Neng, is an illiterate. He don't have anything. So they are trying to say, why you go and follow him? He don't have anything. He don't have title, nothing. He don't even have proper education. So they ridicule the southern patriarch, saying that he couldn't even read a single word and have nothing in his favor. But since you say no, he has obtained wisdom without the aid of a teacher and understand the Supreme Vehicle deeply, which is very true. Before he came to see the fifth patriarch, he already awakened. But he need to receive what they call the transmission so that he can be the patriarch. And he need the final refinement of the understanding. So the Diamond Sutta, when the fifth patriarch met up with Hui Neng and just go through the Diamond Sutta with him. But when he reached the part on the mundane mind, he said, this mind, you must know how to use it and yet not be deceived by it. Immediately Hui Neng came to great awakening because he understood the whole of the Zigzaw Parcel. Means he understand that this mundane mind has its use. It functions within the conditioned world. And the conditioned world, the mundane mind, which is part of the formal mind, is subject to karma. And because it's subject to karma, you must abide by its duty towards this nature's law. That's why you cannot simply do things. And that's the reason why the fifth patriarch, Hong Run, he said, you must know how to use it and yet not be deceived by it. So it's for you to use, karmically conditioned out for you to use. And this part, very few people understand. But you must not be deceived by it. Means you must have the wisdom not to be deceived by this mundane mind. Because this mundane mind is capable of creating delusion. Via thought, through words, through concept, it divides. It creates the phenomenal world, like everything is real. Then if you are deceived by the phenomenal world, it will afflict you, because you will start to attach, cling, and give meanings to all this that the mundane mind create. So through delusion, through attachment, through clinging, grasping, and holding, you will be afflicted. That's why the Buddha said the five aggregates of grasping, when you grasp at them. The mundane mind is the five aggregate of for my mind, the mental fire area. So if you are deceived by it, you will grasp onto it. So the upadana khandas, the five grasping aggregate, is dukkha. So you can check. In life, you can experience them all. The physical form, the mental form, you cannot attach, you cannot cling, you cannot hold. They go the way of nature. They are impermanent. If you attach, cling, and grasp like this body, you want it forever young, never die, don't get old, don't get sick, cannot. For it go the way of nature. Then your feeling also same. Wherever you place your feeling, your emotion, it will lead to affliction, suffering. We are all sensual pleasure is a prelude to suffering. This statement is very powerful. This statement you have to understand. I write it down on the whiteboard. All sensual pleasure is a prelude to suffering. And this statement is very true and very powerful. So whatever sensual pleasure or desire, like your love for your family members, your loved ones, your love for your prized possession, your wealth, your property, your business, or antique, your car, your whatever. If you have this sensual pleasure, if you put in your feeling and you crave to have them, and you give value and meaning to them, the outcome is always suffering, because all these things, they are impermanent. They go the way of nature, like your loved one. They are subject to old age, sickness, and death. So separation will occur. Then sometimes when their behavior change, that love, that emotion can become anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. Because human feeling, human condition, they are very fleeting. And it's very, very unreliable, especially the unenlightened living being. I believe you have come across a lot of monks and even cultivators telling you. They say they can't even trust themselves. You heard of this? They can't even trust themselves because they don't understand their mind. One moment like that, one moment like that. So they come to know this very important fact. They can't even trust themselves. They don't know what this mind is thinking. One moment can be very happy, another moment can be miserable. Then over time, what they like, what they crave for, change. Just like that day, I saw it on, I think, one of the video show, I think. This rich man's son, he actually has a lot of money because the father is very wealthy, very rich. So he used to have a girlfriend, who is childhood girlfriend, and all. But because he became so famous and so rich, so there's a lot of film star models all going after him. So finally he decided to have a relationship with this very famous film star. And this film star told him, I will give up my condition to go Hollywood and become a famous film star, provided you promise to marry me. So as usual, this rich man's son, he said, yeah, sure, sure, no problem. Then after a while, the relationship turned sour. This rich man said, I got no more feeling for her. So he wanted to break it off from her. Then he just called her out in a very nice sports car, the usual way, take her around and all those things. Then say, I got something to talk to you. Then when alone, he told him, I no longer love you. He said, I want to separate from you. I tell you, the film star got a shock. She became so miserable. No? And you know what she did? No? He said, how can you do that to me? I only dumb man. No? I have never been dumped by a man. No? Because he's a famous film star. Everybody is lining up for her. No? He said, and you did this to me. You know? So she was very angry. No? Then finally he said, I'm really sorry. Because I don't know why I got no more attraction towards you, the rich man's son said. See, love can be so fleeting, so fragile. Then this film star got so angry, he said, pass him the handphone. No. He said, what for? He said, I want you to take a photo of my state, he said, when I've been dumped. When I felt very, very miserable inside. So this rich man's son don't know what to do. No. He said, why do you become like that? Love, he said, relationship must be, in Cantonese, what? You both must agree, means what? So if I no longer interested in you, you have to accept it. That lady, I tell you, cannot take it. He said, I want you to pay for it, you see. So human being's mind is like that. So whatever sensual pleasure or desire, if you are not mindful and you don't know the Dhamma, you don't understand that all these are impermanent, fleeting. It goes the way of nature. Then you will be afflicted. That's why it's a prelude to suffering. So a lot of understanding can arise when you reflect and contemplate. Because within the conditioned world, the so-called love is a conditioned love. You know what is a conditioned love? You love because there is condition behind your love. When my girlfriend is young, pretty, and can be beneficial or from a wealthy background, then I love you. But when that condition is no more, or you find a better one, the decision can be different. So all this conditioned love, desire, craving, will lead to suffering, because it will change. That separation is another reality. So if you look at life, you cannot become emotional over what happened. When you are young, you are very healthy, you are capable of a lot of things, your senses all work for you. Okay? You have good life, maybe your good karma give it to you. Then as you age, you find that your senses start to fail you. And especially as you age, you encounter a lot of problems. Not only your senses start to fail you, you start to develop a lot of sickness, a lot of disease. Then recently, we got our university classmate gathering. Last time we talked about old days, college day, university day, then current news, politics and all this. Nowadays, the topic become health. Everybody is talking about health. Then everybody is trying to say so-and-so about to die already. So-and-so has died already. So these are the reality of life and existence. What is it, Ingvi? Sorry, yeah, the date is wrong. Never mind. Yeah, 5th is Monday. It's okay, we will correct that. Yeah, I will rub it off. Thank you, Ingvi. Yeah, I also announce it as the fifth. It's the fourth today. Yeah. Today is the fourth. Yeah. Thank you. So 4th of March. Yeah. Yeah. What you need to bear in mind is understand this statement or this sentence deeply. I recently heard through the video, there is this monk from Taiwan. You heard of him, is it? Hai Tao. Hai Tao. You know how he divorced his wife and the two children. Well, it seems he make a vow in front of the Buddha. He said, if the mother can recover from, I don't know, whether cancer or what, he will renounce and become a monk. So he renounced and become a monk. Then, because that time when he renounced and become a monk, he was not awakened yet. So the wife, like any other lady, couldn't take it. So according to him, in his own words, you know what he said? He said, the wife told him, if you divorce me, I will commit suicide. That's the first thing. Then the other thing that the wife told him was, he said, if you feel that I'm not pretty, I can slim down. He said, I will do whatever you want. Please, don't divorce me. You know what he was telling the wife now? He said, I renounce it because I don't want to have suffering anymore. He said, all sensual desire or pleasure is a prelude to suffering. If I place my emotion and love on you and my loved one, the children, I will get into trouble because one day you will get old, get sick and die, separate from me. Or I will get old, get sick and die and separate from you. And you will be afflicted. You will become miserable. He said, what I'm after is not the fleeting mundane life, understand? Fleeting means not lasting one. It come and go. He said, what I seek is enlightenment, nibbana, the eternal life. So all this bring about suffering, no point. He said, no point. The wife cannot understand. The wife also refused to understand. Yeah. But you can't blame him because at that time he don't understand the true meaning of this sentence. Yeah. When you awaken, this one, you will understand it differently. That's why the word sensual pleasure. Pleasure means what? You receive pleasure from it, isn't it? Like when you want to get married. Why do you want to get married? Well, you think it's going to bring about the good life, isn't it? Like they say, 白头到老, 白头到老. But most of the marriage doesn't end that way. But in between, a lot of misunderstanding, argument, then sometimes very harsh word can arise. So it's just like what they used to share on the internet. He said there are three rings in one's life. First one is your engagement ring, you engage. Then after that, you marry. So that ring is called the married ring. After that, the third ring comes, suffering. It's also another ring. So that ring comes together with the first two. Once you engage, you commit to marriage, the third ring will follow you, suffering. But when you have the wisdom, the Dhamma is not necessary. This one come about because Hai Tao at that time maybe. He take this as this is the mundane mind that doesn't have the wisdom. But when the mundane mind has the wisdom, it will not do all this because it's not a prelude to suffering because there is understanding. Here, there is no understanding. When there is no understanding, then it is true. But when there is understanding, that's why the Buddha said, You can live the good life. You can love. Love with all your heart and mind. But don't attach. Understand not? So don't attach is very important. This one is become pleasure because there is no understanding. But when you understand, so this one, when you understand, when you understand, I think you don't have S, huh? When you understand, then it is different. Because there will be no attachment. I think this one we don't need it. Huh? This is the final understanding. Because you must understand, the form of mind is not really what you think you are. The form of mind is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to go through all the karmic process and all those things. So what you need to understand is, the understanding will free you, will free the mind. Like good food, if there is condition to have it, have it, but don't overeat. Understand? Then don't crave, don't attach, don't cling. Then you will be at peace. So your loved one also, because karmically, karma-wise, the form of mind has a duty towards your loved one. Understand? So that duty is very important. So you can love, because there is this karmic thing behind. That's why you have to do your duty, your responsibility. You have to provide for them, care for them, and do all those things. Then when you understand that, you will not attach, you will not cling. You will just do your duty, because after all, it's not so real. They are just form and mind, come and go, come and go. But before you awaken, if you want to renounce the world for a greater good, to serve humanity and not only your freedom, you can make that decision to go for. That's why a lot of people decide to renounce the world because they believe they can find the deeper truth. Just like Sakyamuni Buddha, before he became enlightened, he left the palace, despite the fact that the wife just gave birth. And he did that because that was his destiny. That was his past, his vow, and all those things. And he has a greater duty towards humanity and the world. So that's the reason why he decided to renounce the world. Then after 6 years, when he became enlightened, actually he got this understanding, he can go back to his family. But because of his great vow, his lineage, and all, he has to set up the Sangha and all those things. So he chose the other way. Whereas by then, he also understand that the wife, the children, they will be taken care of because the father is the king. And then when he came back to the palace, he knew they also have their past, their karma. That's why the son decide to follow him and renounce. That time Rahula was very young. When the mother Yasodhara, was it Yasodhara? What's her name? Something like that. Yasodhara. He tell the son, go to him, he is your father, to ask for your inheritance. So Rahula, I was so in the Jataka story, he was only 7 years old. So he asked for his inheritance. So what happened was, his inheritance is to go the Dhamma way. So the Buddha renounced what they call, make him a monk. Means what? What you call that? Ordain him, huh? Ordain him. That's why the father become very angry. You know? He said, I already lost a son. Now you take away my grandson, my only grandson. So because of that, the Buddha after that regretted and said, okay, from now onward, he make it a rule. He said, anybody who wants ordination below the age of 21, you need to seek the approval of your parents. So that was how the rules come about. So the inheritance that the son asked was the ordination, because that is what the Buddha is all about. He has the Dhamma. He can only pass you the Dhamma, which you can inherit from him. So he ordained him. Then later on, I think the wife, they also, when the Bhikkhuni order was set up, they also ordained. Because they have past parami, past affinity with the Buddha. So all these are related to karma. And there are causes and conditions behind. So the Buddha Dhamma is very simple when you understand. So do not attach and cling onto sensual things. We are all sensual things. It's a prelude to suffering. Why? Because they are impermanent. They go the way of nature. They will change. They will not remain in that condition forever. Even a flower, you look at a flower. How did the flower exist? Because there are causes and conditions behind it. Then it flower until it about to blossom. Then they cut it and sell to you. Then you keep it, you dip it in the water, in the vase. Then they will flower. Then after flowering, they will wither. And this is one of the best offering to the Triple Gem, to the altar, where it shows to you the immediate effect of impermanence, the fleeting nature, or they call ephemeral. Ephemeral. For flower, they use the word ephemeral, means it's impermanent and it decays very fast. So, condition arising thing, when condition cease to be, it will cease to be. That's why there is no reality, empty nature. If you attach, you cling, you give meaning, you will suffer. Affliction will be there. So it's to allow you to see conditioned thing is not worthwhile clinging onto. You must not have this delusion to attach and to cling, even to wealth, to property, to your, they call it title and all those things. Even your reputation, your prestige and all those things. If you cling, you hold, you will become afflicted, miserable. Yeah, this world has all sorts of people. Some will praise you, some will blame you. So praise and blame, the worldly condition, they are always there. Gain and loss, the worldly condition, they are always there. And fame and ill fame, they are also all the time there. So all these worldly conditions, you have to understand, they belong to the mundane world, the condition arising world. If you attach, you cling, you will be afflicted. Because these are the worldly conditions that come with condition. So coming back to the sutta, we will now go on to the commentary part. Page 338. You all remember Sun Siu, the great master who was obsessed with the deadly ambition to become a patriarch. He was an intelligent man, and yet he couldn't cut off his desire for the patriarchship. In the south, the sixth patriarch taught the sudden teaching, or Dhamma, to a flourishing assembly of over 1,000 monks. Sun Siu of Jingnan was busy teaching the gradual Dhamma to an even larger crowd of over 10,000 people. Originally, Sun Siu had about 200 followers, but every day more and more people came. However, everyone knew that the fifth patriarch had transmitted the rope and the bow to Huining in the south. In spite of the fact that Sun Siu has been teaching master under the fifth patriarch. Vena, in spite of the fact that since you have been teaching, oh, there's the word two word together, teaching master, yeah, under the fifth patriarch, and was extremely well educated, he did not receive the transmission. Still, Sensei's disciple advertised him as the sixth patriarch, and finally even sent an assassin to try to kill the sixth patriarch and seize the rope and bow. Because of the division into northern and southern school, students of the way did not know where to turn to. Should they study with the sixth patriarch? Then they were told he was illiterate, and sometimes his teaching seems to contradict the scripture. On the other hand, since you didn't have the rope and the bar. So this is the confusion that happened. That seeing the dilemma, the master, which is the sixth patriarch, said, there is only one Dhamma. People may come from north and south, but there actually is only one non-dual Dhamma Dhamma. Intelligent people means people with wisdom, understand it all of a sudden, and stupid people come to understand it gradually. But the Dhamma itself is neither sudden nor gradual. Yeah, Dhamma is truth. Truth can be awakened to, yeah, it stand up to investigation. Then still, sensuous men constantly make fun of the sixth patriarch. Hey, look at him. They say he can't even read. The southern school disciples are following an illiterate. That is perfectly ridiculous. What could they possibly learn from him? Thus they slighted the patriarch and his disciple, saying that they were ignorant, not having even one doctrine among them. Since you say, don't talk like that. He is an enlightened man. He has obtained the wisdom through his own effort without the aid of a teacher and has a thorough grasp of the supreme vehicle, means the Bodhisattva way. Frankly, he says, I'm not as good as he is. I do not possess his enlightened wisdom. Our teacher, the fifth patriarch, passed the wonderful mind seal Dhamma onto him, and for a good reason. It was no accident. So since he was a national master, he and the master Lao An Chi Xiang and Fa Zhu were among the fifth patriarch's top 10 disciples, 10 great disciples, as they had received invitation to the imperial palace from Empress Wu Zitian. They received state patronage. Since you told his disciple, I can't get away as I receive state aid here. But don't let me stop you. You may go to Shaoshi to call on the great master, the sixth patriarch. Actually, since you was just testing his disciple to see whether or not they would go. I think this is maybe Xuan Hua's commentary. He said that the sixth patriarch had more virtue than him. But what he really meant was, if you believe in me, you should not go, even though he had more virtue. But if you don't believe in me, you will go as soon as I tell you to leave. Go. Then he said, no one went. But actually, a lot of his disciples went. And according to the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, most of these disciples who went, they have ulterior motive. No? They want to prove that Sensu is better than the Sixth Patriarch. It's like they want to go there and test the Sixth Patriarch. Then the other thing is, they were told by Sensei, you go, he said, you find out what he is teaching, I want to know. Then come back, let me know. All who went, no one come back. All end up staying with the sixth patriarch. So that part was in the sutta. So that is the funny part. It's just like you are curious because Sensei must have something. The sixth patriarch Huining must have something. That's why the fifth patriarch passed the patriarchship to him. So in the early part, we already gone through the early lesson, where this student from Sunxiu, they came. At first, they don't want to announce that they are from Sunxiu school. Then later on, when cornered, they got no choice. The first one, you remember? When he bowed, his head never touched the ground. Then when the sixth patriarch reprimanded him, then only he came to understand. Okay, we turn to the next page. One day, Sunxiu told his disciple, this is the one that went, Zichang. You are intelligent and very wise. You may go to Shaoshi on my behalf, on my behalf, and listen to the Dhamma. Remember it all, and take careful notes to read to me when you return. As ordered, Zichang proceeded to Shaoshi and joined the assembly without saying where he had come from. The patriarch told the assembly, today there is a Dhamma thief hidden in the assembly. So this was what happened. Then Zichang immediately stepped forward, bowed, and explained his mission. The master said, you are from Yuquan. You must be a spy. No, he replied, I'm not. The master said, what do you mean? He replied, before I confess, I was. But now that I have confessed that, I am not. Wow, this is a very, very smart way of reasoning. Before I confess, I was a spy. But now I confess to you already. Like, Guang Ming Zhen Da, I'm not a spy anymore. Then he said, the master said, how does your master instruct his follower? This is the best. This part is very good about the two teachings. Zichang replied, he always instructs us to dwell with the mind, contemplating stillness, and to sit up all the time without lying down. Okay, we now go through this, then we discuss it, see what your understanding is. Just give me a minute, I need a drink. So I read to you again. Zichang replied. He said, Sunxiu always instructs us to dwell with the mind, contemplate stillness, and to sit up all the time without lying down. Is this the correct way to meditate? Yeah? What do you think? Yeah? Dwell with the mind. Okay. He always instructs us to dwell with the mind, contemplate stillness, and to sit up all the time without lying down. There are three parts in it. First is contemplate the mind. Is that the correct way to meditate? Then the second one is what? The focus is on what? Sit still means contemplating stillness and sit up all the time without lying down. These three things, the moment he say that, he don't understand meditation. Why? We will go into it. I read you the next statement that you understand. The master said, to dwell with the mind contemplating stillness is, what is it? Sickness. That is not Dhyan Samadhi. Understand? Then, continue sitting, restrain the body. How can it be beneficial? See? It's just like the old poem, tear him off completely. So, the first thing that since you go wrong is, his statement of advice got three parts in it. Contemplate. The first one is contemplate what? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Wait. This one is the second part. Dwell with the mind. Then number two, contemplate stillness. The third one? Sit up without lying down. Sit up. Or the thigh. Sorry. Without lying down. So, Sunsiu didn't understand the real meditation. So when he mentioned this, Master Huineng replied, this is a type of sickness, this is not Dhyana Samadhi. He's doing it completely wrong. Why? Based on your understanding. When you dwell with the mind means what? You make your mind active, isn't it? Correct or not? Huh, you dwell with the mundane mind, how can this one awaken you? You're supposed to silence this fellow. So, first one, he dwell on this and he make the mind active. So this is where he go wrong. By dwelling, you make the mundane mind active. Oh, sorry. The mind. Mundane mind. Active. When the mundane mind is active, means there is no silent mind. Understand now? Then how can you see things as they are? How can you meditate? That's why the whole thing go wrong. So this one, no more silent mind. No more silent mind. Means you are not using your true mind to meditate. You are stirring your mundane mind. So this one is very important. So this is where he go wrong first. Then contemplate stillness means you are in a conditioned state. Understand or not? Conditioned mind state. You go into jhana. You go into samatha. You are not doing your daily mindfulness. This is not a free mind. Understand or not? That's why you still your mind until very quiet, very peaceful, very still, and you don't want to come out of it. You always sit up without lying down. That's why you completely go against. This is a sickness. Why? Sickness means what? You keep on doing without understanding, it becomes a sickness. Understand? Do you understand? So, this is not Dhyana Samadhi. This is not real Samadhi. The real Samadhi is the silent mind that is collected and unwavering. Means mind enters sati. Even in the midst of life, it is in that state of samadhi. It's active. And the mind is quiet, silent, still. It doesn't dwell anywhere. So Huineng's teaching is the mind must have no dwelling. And that is in the Diamond Sutta, understand or not? But this guy like to dwell, understand or not? It's a complete opposite of what people do. That's why when you have the understanding, you see very clearly where they go wrong. And since you knew, then we go on. Then Huineng gave him a four-line poem. He said, listen to my verse. When leaving, means in the state of, in the midst of life, when active, living, sit. Don't lie. When dead, lie down. Don't sit. How can a set of stinking bones be used for training? So this is very beautiful, isn't it? When living, you sit. You don't lie down. Then when dead, lie down. Don't sit. Then, by doing that, means you are using this body. So how can a set of stinking bones be used for training? You're supposed to go to the silent mind, your true mind, to awaken and to realize the wisdom. So when people don't understand, they thought that calm state of mind, that stillness of mind, can bring about enlightenment. No. That is a conditioned state. That is energy field. So that is where the difference is. That's why Huineng used the word, to dwell with the mind, contemplate stillness is sickness, not dhyana. So constant sitting restrains your body. Then how can it be beneficial? True or not? That's why whole of meditation is not about sitting. Sitting, formal meditation, is to train your mind. Stabilize the sati so that you are ever mindful, so that the mind enters sati, so that you are in a state of pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind throughout the day. But the mind enters sati. And your mind is always in sati. That's why after that, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, they are all in sati. That's why body and mind always as one. Phenomena and the awareness move as one. That's a specific phenomenal awareness. Then when you are silent, the mind does not dwell. Spacious awareness without a center. That is the true mind. The silent mind is just aware. And that is the real meditative mind. So without this understanding, sensu find it very difficult to penetrate that true mind, that to realize that true mind and to penetrate the nature. Then Jichang bowed again and said, your disciple studied the way for 9 years at the place of great master Siu, but obtained no enlightenment. See? Now he disclosed the fact. Yeah? For 9 years, he was heading nowhere. Now hearing one speech or one stanza of 4 verses from the High Master, I am united with my original mind. Your disciple's birth and death is a serious matter. Will the High Master be compassionate enough to instruct me further? He straight away knew what Sensu has taught him will go nowhere, because the 6 patriarchs tear it apart and point out clearly to him, if you do that, it is not going to help you. You are using the wrong instrument. So let's go to the commentary. Jichang was a good disciple to Sensu, one of his favorite disciples. He said, you may represent me at Saoshi. Sensu said, I cannot go. If I were to go personally, Huineng would surely recognize me and not speak the Dhamma. So write down everything he said without getting one word wrong. Then bring back your notes and read them to me. When Zichang asked for instruction at Saoshi, he didn't say where he was from. I have been here and there, he said, beating around the bush. That day, there were several thousand people gathered to hear the Dhamma. The 6 patriarchs announced, everyone should be careful. There is a Dhamma thief hidden in the assembly. Jichang pushed his way through the crowd, bowed at the master's feet and said, I confess, I'm a spy. Sensu sent me here. The master explained the Dhamma to Jichang. He said, contemplating stillness is a kind of occupational disease. He said, it is not Dhyan Samadhi. As to constant sitting in meditation, this is a mere constraint on the body. What is the principle behind it? When you eat, just eat. When you sleep, just sleep. Don't lock yourself up. That's why the living Dhamma is life itself, not what people think. Then this year, sometime we Chinese New Year, we go Lo Sang. So they always wish, low for good health and all those things. I said, oh, this is to show you when you low, everything become alive. This is what the living Dhamma is all about. You have to understand the living Dhamma, once you start to low, you actually create a lot of active movement, and the whole of the yisang, which is properly stacked, become like fly all over, and you know, some even out of the tray. Then with what? With the tian, tian mi mi one inside there, your hand becomes sticky, chopstick becomes sticky. You know? And this is how the Dhamma can show it to you. If you get involved with the world too much, if you go and low until you get attached to the low sound, the tian tian mi mi, then all this will stick to you. And what you have to do? You have to wash it off, isn't it? Otherwise it's very sticky, isn't it? Then what do you eat? You eat all those unhealthy food, understand? So in a way, in life, when you don't understand, you follow tradition, you follow culture, right, and ritual, you end up doing all these things without understanding. But when you understand, you can see the Dhamma inside there. Then you become heedful. You are no longer heedless. Even when you low with awareness. And you know this is just a tradition. Understand? Not to say you cannot do, you can do. You do with understanding. Then everything is with mindfulness, with awareness. Then your understanding will make you different. And you will not be carried away, drawn into that delusion. Okay, then we go on. Since you were just working on his stinking skin bag, means the human form, he didn't know how to work on the self nature. See? Self nature means what? What is your self nature? Your true nature, your true mind. That is the one that can meditate and awaken. But he doesn't understand this because in the poem, when the fifth page he asked him to write another one, he cannot write another one. Actually, the fifth patriarch gave him a lot of hint, you realize or not? That's why in the sutta, it was mentioned, the fifth patriarch told him, after explaining to him, you are at the gate of enlightenment, but you don't know how to go in. Then after that, he said, by now, you should be able to write me a poem to show that you have penetrated the teaching, the Dhamma. But he still couldn't know. He don't have the karmic path, the training, the understanding. So it's meant to be. So Huineng was the one who get it. That's why Xianhua also know. He said, since he was just working on the stinking skin bag, means he focused too much on the mind, the mundane mind, and the skin bag, the form. That's why he always say, the body is like a Bodhi tree. Sen Zhu Puti Su, you remember his poem? He was not wrong when he said that, but he don't understand the meaning. Well, the four foundation of mindfulness is within the form and mind. It's not supposed to sit still. The four posture, everything he forgot. The daily mindfulness, everything he forgot. He just thinking, when you sit in samadhi, your mind will become very strong. Then one day you will become enlightened. Gradually you will become enlightened. Then Xianhua also knew, he said, that is sickness. Because you don't understand and you didn't use the self nature. You didn't know how to work with your silent mind, your true mind. The sixth patriarch worked naturally in the self nature and he spoke these words. To say, you sit up when you are alive, you lie down when you are dead. This is correct. Then your body is a bone bag composed of the four elements. Why not work on yourself, nature, instead? So that was the message to this disciple of Sun Siu, Zichang. That's why Zichang knew from this. He knew Sun Siu's teaching was not correct. Cannot lead to enlightenment. Cannot awaken. So he seek, respectfully seek instruction from the sixth patriarch. So to dwell with the mind, contemplating stillness, contradict the principle of the Diamond Sutta. Remember? Diamond Sutta say what? The mind must have no dwelling. And his first principle, dwell with the mind. See? completely conflict, which tell us to produce a thought which is nowhere supported, means the mind must have no dwelling. Then the sixth patriarch spoke this verse to break Ji Chang's attachment to Maha. This one is very useful. For some of you, it may help you too. Yeah? Since you taught people to dwell with the mind, contemplating stillness, and the sixth patriarch said that that was wrong. Nevertheless, if you can do it bit by bit, you will gain benefit. If you always sit and do not lie down, although it is not very natural, it will assist your body and mind to cultivate. Then why did the sixth patriarch object to this type of practice? It was because Zi Chang had just come from Shenxiu, and it was necessary to break his attachment before he could properly receive the genuine Buddha Dharma. So this one, if you understand, is very, very applicable to a lot of you all. Do you remember in the past? What is your knowledge or concept of vipassana? You know, understand? Not? You think if you don't know, you are not doing vipassana. And you know what? Rising, falling. So, sixth patriarch straight away tell him, oh, but I can't, understand? Not? If I start like that, all run. Nobody stay. Everybody disappear. I don't have the patriarchship to show. So, the gradual teaching, if you do it wrong, I used to tell you all what, you can be wasting your time. In and out of retreat for umpteen years, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you are wasting your time. Many, many lives you are wasting. But this is all thought-based meditation. You are not dealing with the silent mind, the true mind. You are using thought. That's why you dwell. You know. You focus. You concentrate. And you do a lot of funny things in the name of meditation because you don't understand what is meditation. So this is where a lot of cultivators get it wrong. That's why not until you are able to have an open mind, free your conditioning from all this idea of what meditation is, and investigate yourself and find out for yourself what is true meditation. That's why this retreat is going to be very different. Because a lot of you are ready. And this retreat, I'm just telling you all, you go silent your mind, relax, aware, and you will go deep into it, and you understand. Even yesterday, Jin Hao wrote to me, he said, but there are four or five of them, they volunteer to keep short notes. I say, forget about the short note. You better meditate, listen attentively, and cultivate. You prepare all the short notes. You know, 9 days, how much editing I got to do. Crazy. And you cannot focus, understand? And you cannot understand what I say. Then you just write all the pointer. Then I got to spend, I think, 90 days looking at it. I say, forget about it. Well, all these are from the short notes of the Heart Sutta, and also from the book Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, and also from the recent short notes that I have given out. So go back and read, understand, and go there attentively, listen, and just do. And I tell you, this round you will progress very far, because your conditioning last time was all gone already. Well, now you can understand what I share with you all. And you have faith. You dare to go and do. And you will progress very fast, I tell you. Even in one of the talks, the book hasn't come out, the 28th December last year one. I think I have just more or less going to finish the editing part. I mentioned that you don't need 9 days. You actually need 3 days. You straight away will settle in. And you will understand what the silent mind is. And when you stabilize that, I tell you, when your mind enters sati, you become very different. You become very different. Then everything you do, you realize, for the first time in your cultivation in your life, how come now all of that? And the thought cannot understand. Last time cannot do it. And now no need to slow down. Everything is just within the moment. The mind in sati is aware. Everything you start to see is with awareness. Hardly any thought. Then everything is just very natural. Where the mind that is in sati is always in sati. And your hearing, your seeing, your smell, your taste, everything is different. And this one got nothing to do with slowing down your action. No. It's slowing down your heedless thinking. Your thinking mind no more. You hardly think. You are just quiet, aware. And this one doesn't need to learn or do anything. The moment the mind stabilizes, sati stabilizes, the true mind stabilizes until it enters sati, all this will happen. Then your daily mindfulness become very different. And there is a lot of understanding, a lot of joy. The mind that is in that state of stillness, a free mind, not a conditioned state. You don't need continuous mindfulness to make you aware anymore. You don't need focusing, concentration to make you aware anymore. The mind that is naturally quiet, silent, and still because it understands. It doesn't stir, it doesn't react. Your thing is just the way it is. Think also like that, don't think also like that. You cannot argue with the reality, the nature, what is. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. So when you have this understanding, you continuously become peaceful. And the mind does not stir anymore. You can come to terms with a lot of reality. And you can accept everything for what it is. And there is only joy. There is only what they call calmness, stillness, awareness, mindfulness. There is not to see many things. Your subtle mental intention within, the slightest emotion or feeling within your mind state, you are so sensitive. That's why you can't even stir your mind and get unhappy. Then the subtle craving, desire that come back through the back door, oh, you can see. And your mind is so different after that. It's so sensitive. And you are so calm, so patient, so full of understanding. You just smile. And your metta, it just come out by itself. Whatever you dwell on or contemplate with the mundane mind, it manifests. Because the heedless thinking, the mental hindrance no more, the spiritual faculty take over. Then after that, the seven factor of enlightenment take over. And your mind is constantly with the seven factor of enlightenment. Then after that, the sati, because it's so mindful, so stable, ever mindful. Then everything you come to confront, you contemplate, you reflect, the Dhamma will surface. That is what Dhamma contemplation is all about. Then when you realize that all this can be investigated on and it stand up to investigation, your faith becomes even stronger and become unshakable. Then it will drive you to cultivate further. That's why from sati, dhamma, vichaya, then virya will arise. Then when virya arises, the next enlightenment factor, which is piti, will arise. Then throughout the day, you have this joy in you, this piti. Then you continue to silence your mind. You can experience blissfulness of mind. But this is not enlightenment factor. So if you know how to relax into it and silence, the mind will become very quiet, very still, until we enter pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the true mind. Stay with that one for as long as you can. Just like you are dead, your body. Don't react to anything. Then through that stillness, silent, which is a free mind, you will understand many things. Then when your mind enters sati, you can see a lot of things that you never see before. Then that daily mindfulness becomes very different. And that is the real cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then after that, whatever you contemplate, you understand. What is right speech? What is right action? What is right thought? You start to understand. Then you read through the Heart Sutta or cultivating the Bodhisattva way or the Shana, everything becomes very clear to you. Especially the Appendix 3 of the Heart Sutta. So all this will unfold because this understanding that I share with you comes from the silent mind. If you don't have the silent mind, you cannot understand what is being shared. And the moment you have this silent mind and understand, that's why I say this year is a great year of transformation for Kayana Mitra. It will happen. You must have faith. Then you go there, you just follow the instructions, silent your mind, and determine to stabilize that silent mind. That's why relax, aware, don't do anything. Don't try to know. The knowing will come. The understanding will unfold later on. Then when you listen attentively, there's a lot of joy, because there's a lot of pity. When you are mindful, pity will arise without thought. There is this joy, deep joy inside. Then your faith is very different. It becomes unshakable. Then for the first time in your life, your meditative mind shows it to you what heedful living is all about, what heedfulness is all about. It's so different from the heedless living. Just like the note I share, the anonymous, written by an anonymous, 1st to 4th May 2013, 5 years ago, I think, that retreat. I just edit the thing that they sent to me. Then it became so beautiful. So you go back and read that notes. That notes I have given out. I think Sri An asked for extra 10 set. Those who didn't come, you had collect from him. You collected from him, right? Oh, heaven, you better go and collect from him. Oh, then there is this 4 new books. You have it already, maybe. Lesson 4, lesson 954, and you take this set. No, you take this set. This set I want to show to people. Those who don't have this 4 new book, you can collect it afterwards. Man Yuan got already, I think. The rest all got already. Got already. You don't have? Oh, then you go and collect. They are all here. They are all here. So this part is very useful. Okay, we continue. After this, we can stop for meditation. To dwell with the mind, contemplating stillness, contradict the principle of the Diamond Sutta. That one we have gone through. So, because the Diamond Sutta say you must cultivate until the mind must have no dwelling, or you must produce. Actually, the word thought is wrong. That thought which is nowhere supported is not a thought. Because the true mind doesn't dwell. You understand this statement or not? I better write it down so that this understanding is there. The true mind doesn't dwell. It's not a thought. The true mind doesn't dwell. Now you understand. This true mind means what? Your silent mind. Your pure awareness. Silent mind. Or? Wait. Pure awareness. See, silent means you're not thinking, you're not verbalizing. Understand? Means no thought. That's why sati is awareness before the knowing. Pure awareness before the knowing. The moment you know, you perceive, you dwell. You understand? That's why this true mind doesn't dwell. Your question is what? Yeah. But it is different in the sense that, you see, this original mind, which is the source, is before the true mind. The true mind is the after. Immediately from the source, that true mind come out first. The true mind, through the true mind, it creates the mundane mind. Understand? The condition arising mind. That's why nothing is apart from the Tao. The Tao is like the true mind.
So everything arises from there. But when you meditate, you cannot go to the true mind, because the true mind is the source, asana. But the first thing that nature manifests is the pure awareness, is the oneness nature, understand? Before anything arises, it's just the awareness, the oneness. Then from there, you shrink it into a thought, understand? And how do you shrink? Because you perceive, understand? So the silent mind, which is your spacious awareness, the oneness, suddenly you focus, understand? You dwell. You dwell on your hearing. You dwell on what you see. Then that spacious awareness shrink, and you input the content of consciousness. That's how that one become a thought. They say, Shen Hua here used the wrong word. He said, the thought must have no support. Nowhere supported. It's not the word. The thought is wrong. This is not thought. This is pure awareness before the content go in. You understand? It's like you see things as they are, without the word, without the concept. Just aware of them. You understand? And the real daily mindfulness meditation is just spacious awareness. Specific phenomenal awareness. It doesn't dwell anywhere. Yeah, it's just the awareness and the phenomena move as one. But you have to live life, understand? And to live life, you must know things. That's why you will perceive, you will be aware. But you does not allow your thought to proliferate, because you know they are not real. You only use it to communicate, to live, to arise. So that this form of mind can animate and speak, understand? And do things. And this is not you. But it's connected to your nature, it's connected to your true mind. And only your true mind can insight into phenomena and awaken and develop the wisdom inside. And this wisdom is not stored anywhere. It's connected to this form of mind. That's why when this form of mind ceases to be, the wisdom also gone. It doesn't follow you. If it follow you, every time you take birth, you will have that wisdom. Cannot. You cannot inherit wisdom like that. You can only inherit through your spiritual nature. It's like your karmic nature. You can only inherit your karma through your karmic nature. But karmic nature very funny, you know. The moment you are born, it comes already. It never wait on. Straight away, you fatal or you become miserable. It's either or. Whether you have good karmic inheritance or very, very bad karmic inheritance, the moment you arise in this phenomenal world, it will follow you. It will haunt you. That's why you must take care of karma, otherwise you become miserable. But cultivation is difficult in the sense that if you don't start to develop the meditation and connect to your silent mind, your spiritual nature, you cannot inherit, understand? Before Hui Neng heard the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling, the true mind. He cannot connect, you know not. Do you understand? He don't have the mundane mind, but he doesn't know what this is all about. But it's not connected. But the moment he hear the truth is connected, then he start to inherit. Then he start to understand. Then when he is being briefed on the sutta, or even when he is illiterate, he just hear them, like the verses they read, Sensius, four line of verses. The moment they read to him, he know this guy hasn't penetrated the nature. That's why he can come out with the opposite four and tear Sensius poem apart. This is what inheritance from the spiritual nature is all about. The moment he understand connected, he understand very fast. He don't need teacher one. He only need truth. Like this life. The moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I don't need anybody to explain to me or teach me. It's like this truth is very familiar to me. And I straight away knew, no, nobody 2,600 years ago can just summarize all of his enlightenment and understanding into just four beautiful truths like that. And at that time, 1971, I can even tell myself, even if I, this nature of mine has understood the Four Noble Truths, means the enlightenment, I cannot summarize all of my understanding into just Four Noble Truths like that. Cannot, no way. Then I knew, this being is no ordinary being. He must be the real one. That's why after that, no more searching. Straight away, my nature knows this is the truth. Because it has developed them from the past. That's why the moment he hear about it or read about it, he recognizes it. Because you have your past inheritance. Yeah. Then after that, I go all out. My nature went all out to cultivate. Then everything just follow, just happen. Then the unfolding take place. Because karma, then the spiritual nature, then the condition, everything arise. So if you have this understanding, then you will know how to make vow. That's why cultivating the Bodhisattva way become very important. The blue book, when you are at the retreat, make use of your merits. We have the 9 days retreat. Your merits is exceptional. Then with the faith and the understanding, you vow to have this understanding life after life, this type of right view, life after life. So that whenever you are born, this understanding, they will come back to you, connect to you, even without the Buddha Sasana. It will arise the causes and conditions for it to come back to you. And you will know how to cultivate, even without the Buddha Sasana. And you will know exactly what this right view is. Like, how to ask for forgiveness, or you vow to have all this understanding. But I have listed them all out. Then you must have this right view in regards to law of karma, law of mind, law of truth. Means karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then, from the law of karma, you determine to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, to keep the precept, to cultivate all this. Then you must vow to have this deep understanding of the three universal characteristics. Then you chant, Rūpaṃ anicchaṃ, Rūpaṃ anattā. That's why this life and my nature came back in 1989 when I went down to Thailand to visit my dead teacher, Ajayantra. Middle of the night, 3:45, I heard the monk chanting. The moment they chant, the whole Dhamma, my nature absorbed in and understood. Because it already have it from the past. Straight away, it connect back. So you only need condition to unfold. Like Huineng, he hears the Diamond Sutta. The mind must have no dwelling. And he came to create awakening, just like that. And we have repeated this once how many times? Nobody awake. So it is because your past, you didn't make this vow. You make this vow, I tell you, you straight away smile. Then like Mahakasapa, he smiled, the Buddha smiled. So the mind to mind, Dhammasu, already transmitted, the Surangama Sutta. He held out the rose, means like a flower. Then Mahakasapa smiled. Then the Buddha smiled back. The Dhamma transmitted already. So now you smile, I smile. No, the one that has it, they will know. Then when they know, they smile, my nature will feel it, and I will know. That's why at this retreat, I think there will be Kayamita who will go through. Some of you may have a glimpse of what cessation is, but most of you can realize the silent mind. And after that, you progress very fast, I tell you. Then you start to understand what I share and what I teach very fast. The most important thing is like just now what the Chi Chang gone through. The sixth patriarch just have to wake him up and forget about the conditioning, the old thinking. Because for 9 years he has been learning to meditate is to dwell in the mind, establish, contemplate stillness, then sit, don't lie down. If this type of views and opinion, concept of meditation, you cannot teach him one. Whatever you teach him, he said, cannot be, cannot be. My master, since you got the honor from the state, teach me different. Understand? And the worst is, I'm a lay person now. And they will have this thought telling them, no. You mean monk also don't understand? This one come from monk, no. So very difficult, understand? So what the sixth expatriate did is, yeah, I'm illiterate. I don't even know how to read. And you come to me, then I know how you get stuck because you are so conditioned by what you were told to do. And you do without understanding. That's why all the time you can recall, I always emphasize what? You must meditate with understanding. Otherwise, you get yourself entangled. You become gullible. You cannot penetrate the true Dhamma. So this part is very useful. Then, I think we finished until 3:43. Yeah? We finished this part before we go for the meditation. Since you taught people to dwell, oh, this one we have gone through. Then why did why did the sixth patriarch object to this practice? It was because Chi Chang Ha, this one you recall, you better listen attentively. It's because Chi Chang had just come from Sun Siu, and it was necessary to break his attachment before he could properly receive the genuine Buddha Dharma. So if you hold on to your views and opinion and your conditioning, and you don't have a free mind, you don't empty your cup, you cannot receive. Then in cultivation, you should not be attached to your work and think, look at me. I really work hard, constantly sitting and never lie down. Such thought will obstruct your progress because the ego will come out on the center. Like a lot of cultivators, sometimes they thought, but till I already so sincere, I have so much faith. I did my best, but no result. Because when you have that idea, that comes from the thought. And the thought will bind you. What you need is a silent mind. Just relax, silent, aware, and you will understand. That is what dwelling is all about, understand? Where the thought keeps on telling you things, and you dwell on the concept that I have done my best, I have tried this, I have not lied down, I have been meditating, I have been following Sun Siu's instructions. How come I am still not enlightened? This is all from the thought. So the next paragraph you listen, that is very good. That's why the last sentence before the last paragraph is, such thought will obstruct your progress. That's why all this comes from the thought. If the mind dwells, it is attached. In order to be united with the original wisdom of the self nature, you must produce that thought which is nowhere supported. No. You must stay with the silent mind. Or that self nature. As the Diamond Sutta says, the sixth patriarch gives Chi Sang this teaching in order to break his attachment. You can constantly sit and feel natural. Natural. At ease, naturally. The word natural is very important. And unforced doing so means it's not a discipline. It's not a mechanical, repetitive action. So you can constantly sit and just feel natural and unforced doing so. Then go ahead. But do not force yourself. Force means what? Force means keeping yourself in a posture with fixing everything out. No. Force is not the way. You remember I used to tell you the Dhamma, the true cultivation, is not rigid. Force is to be rigid. You should work naturally. Naturally means what? Accord and flow. Condition like that, your nature move accordingly. Do not resist. Resistance is affliction. Understand? Resistance means you resist nature's way. You want things your way. When you cannot get what you want, what happens? You become afflicted. So it's very, very clear. That's why everything should be natural. Don't force. Like you force yourself to sit still, they not even move or release the gas that is in your tummy. I tell you, you become miserable. Be natural means what? You need to eat, you eat. You feel yourself. You need to relax, you just relax. You need to go for a walk, go for a walk. Don't force yourself in a conditioned state that can make you miserable. So cultivation will become beautiful. Then the commentary continues. I said, good. You say, then I don't have to follow those rules. So Ji Chang also not stupid. He became very happy. Wow, that means a great relief. Oh, I don't have to every time sit, cannot even lie down. Then the next one is, this does not mean that you can ignore the rules. If you lie down when people sit, and sit when they lie down, you are not in accord with Dhamma, and you are just trying to show that you think you are special. So in general, you must follow the rules and be natural with yourself as well. But being natural does not mean that you can break the rules. Is this clear? So this part you must bear in mind. You know. You don't go and attend other retreat and use my retreat procedure and apply that. Hey, Brother Teo said you can lie down and can snore. Why are you stopping me? I tell you, you bring trouble not only to yourself, you bring it to me too. You must respect the rules of that temple, understand? No? We cannot simply do things because they have their rules. So here, rules means accord and flow with nature. We should have gratitude towards people for allowing us to use. So we must bear in mind their command, understand? Like they say, if you meet the monk or the nun on the way, you must smile, you must rejoice, then you must fold your palm and sadhu them. Huh? Or Amitabha or whatever. That is the way they greet people. And they like to use this word Amitabha because they used to chant the Pure Land Amitabha Buddha's teaching. So this is how their rules and culture are set up. So we need to respect the way place rules and culture. We cannot simply do things the way we like. But when you are in a meditation hall, retreat under me, and like a lot of Kayanamita know, I always use word, you are not here to torture yourself. So sometimes I say you have to be careful with this word. Because when you don't understand what I say, you make use of this to simply move. Sometimes in meditation, you need to endure. You have to endure. And endure with understanding is not forcing yourself to sit through. You cannot, the slightest uncomfortable, you want to move. This is not meditation. Meditation means you don't simply do without understanding. Do without understanding means what? Everybody quiet, I also quiet. Everybody dare not move, I also dare not move. Then you start to recall. You breath still say, I'm not here to torture myself. No. Or then you start to move. I never say you can start to move. I say, you don't go and torture yourself means you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. When I know that I'm here to relax and maintain awareness, I just do this, relax and maintain awareness. But you are not relaxing and maintaining awareness, you are trying to move to make yourself comfortable. You understand? The word is very important, relax. So you try it out. What does it mean by to relax and maintain silent awareness? So after a while, you will come to understand what I say. Then you realize the sitting posture is not so comfortable. But when you cross your leg, you don't know how to relax. You cannot sit long, I tell you. You can sit long also, you are forcing it through, no point. Those people who can sit long and force it through is because they go into jhana, they go into concentration. They numb themselves. They let the calmness take over. You are not here to do that. You are here just to train your mind to have this silent mind. First, if you need to decondition your heedless thinking and develop this silent mind, mindfulness, do it. Means mind should be metta, followed by metta. Then stabilize it with anapanasati. But if you already have the understanding, you just cultivate your five spiritual faculties, then the moment you sit, you don't have to train. You just relax, silent, aware, and let the thought be. thought will arise. Because initially you haven't settled down. So the other thing you can tell yourself is the untrained mind thinks a lot, is heedless. So I let it be. So when I let it be, the mind will return to its natural state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then the true mind will come to be. You try it out, understand? Like swimming. When I say, let go of the float, finally the up thrust will push you up and your body will float. Where you are lighter than water. Your original state of body is buoyancy. You are lighter than water because of the air in your lungs and all those things. So your true mind is the same. Your original true mind before the stirring, before the heedless thinking and the reaction, is already the silent mind, the meditative mind. So why can't you just relax, silent everything, and allow it to be? Then all these thoughts that arise, the mental hindrance that arise, they will slowly, slowly slow down and dissipate. At the moment you see it dissipating, you will come to understand what the silent mind is. But that silent is completely different. First, you will go through a phase, like suddenly your mind activity becomes so little. Like there's a shift of consciousness, suddenly you realize you are very quiet. Then your heartbeat, everything slow down already. That is the sign of progress. Means you are going to establish the silent mind. You are going to realize that true mind, that is the meditative mind. Then you need to stabilize it. You just continue to silent, relax. Then you can, by then, you move it to your heart area and stay there. It will detect the gateway on its own. Initially, it can be at the heartbeat. You let it stay there. Or any vibration within the heart area that is most clear to you, you just relax and silent and stay there. Yeah. Then when the silent mind arises, come, it will detect the gateway on its own. Then a lot of things will happen to you. Then your meditative mind becomes very different. You become very calm, very still. Then you realize the lying down position is the best. The less resistant and all those things. Okay. So remember to develop this clear understanding so that when you are there, you know what to do. And meditation is very easy. Relax, aware, no need to do anything. If you are used to sitting, then you try to sit. After a while, lie down. Find out for yourself. But when you sit and you can go through the silence, even in the sitting, when you lie down, you become very good. Because there is nothing to constrict your energy flow. You become very relaxed. Then you can behave like a dead person. A dead person means what? A dead person cannot have consciousness. Cannot respond to anything. So when the body feels somewhere itchy or tinkling everything, but because you are dead, you cannot respond. So endure, don't do anything, just let it be. Just aware. You keep on aware, then you will understand how you function as a human being. Then how upon contact, what happened? You start to see them. Last time you never see them because your mind is preoccupied with all the theory of meditation and sitting. You are not relaxed, also you don't know. And you are not maintaining awareness because you are trying to note, you are trying to do a lot of funny things, you are trying to focus, your motive is to get calmness and stop the thought from thinking. That is not the real understanding of meditation. The understanding of meditation is to train the mind to be relaxed and silent, maintain awareness. Then just silent the mind to be aware of everything that arises. Then your meditation becomes very different. You understand things very differently. And this is the fastest way to meditate, I tell you. Then after that, this is just the beginning, you know. The training of the mind to be in sati. Do you understand? To stabilize the meditative mind until the paucity become very stable. Then after that, you come out of it, you realize you become aware every moment, every instant. Everything you do, there is sati. Not until you hit this point, you cannot be mindful in the midst of life. Then you have to carry this trained mind state back into the daily life. In the midst of your career, your daily life, your household life, and all those things. Then that daily mindfulness is the real meditation. Means throughout the day you are heedful, you are aware, you are mindful. Not until you can do that, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. The real awakening cannot arise. If you, in the form of meditation, can awaken, it's because you already have your training, your contemplation, your understanding. And then in the form of meditation, the cessation can happen. Yeah. But the real understanding comes from the daily mindfulness. It is within the daily mindfulness that you can see what is happening to your form and mind, how your mind still react and become what it is. Then through that understanding, you straighten your view so that the next time you confront the same sense experience, you do not stir, you do not react. Then this understanding will make your mind very quiet in the midst of life. This is what equanimity is all about, the last factor of enlightenment. It becomes very quiet, very equanimous, born of wisdom. It can accept things for what they are. It can accept the world for what it is. So it's always at peace. At peace with all things within life, within the phenomenal world. So every moment, every instant, every situation, and every condition is always at peace. That is the mind. Yeah. If everything also you cannot accept, that type of mind is very reactive. Then you will start to stir your thought, get angry, become unhappy, become miserable, afflicted. And to see whether you really progress or not is to see how peaceful you are in the midst of life. If your mind does not stir like before, you got less and less of this thought process, especially the evil roots, the mental hindrance, the negativity, which means the spiritual faculties are there. Then when you are aware that your enlightenment factor are also there, means you are on the right path. Then the last thing to check is the Noble Eightfold Path. Whether you have enough right view or not, you have straightened your view deep enough or not, so that every moment, every instant, you are at peace. Then from there, your right thought, your right speech, your right action, your four right effort, constantly establishing yourself in the training of the Dhamma. This is most important. See? The weather also starts to like rejoice to you. Okay, so this is the real training. Not until you hit this heedfulness of mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, paucity, means ever mindful in the midst of life, your real meditation cannot come about. But the moment you hit that, very fast you progress, very fast you develop the understanding, and you become very beautiful. Okay? Can follow, because this is recorded, so don't worry. Miss Lee, recorder or not? Got light, but no blinking. All moving. You saw the counter moving. It's okay, don't check, no need to check. You must have faith. Okay, next page. Page 343. We finished the first paragraph. Zicang had studied 9 years with Shen Xiu. How many years have you studied here? He said 1 year. And you think that is a very long time. Cultivator may study for 10, 20, or 30 years with great effort. You can't graduate in just a few months. As soon as the sixth patriarch spoke, the principle entered Zicang's heart. See? Like water flowing into water. Tas, like milk mixing with milk. There was not the slightest difference between them. Means it has become one. The patriarch's heart is my heart. Wow. And Zicang said, Zicang, and my heart is the patriarch's heart. I am suddenly united with the original mind. Means he realized the true mind. See, just by listening. I tell you, at the retreat, you listen attentively, you will realize your true mind. Or latest is after I ask you to meditate, within 5 minutes, you will realize that true mind. He said, suddenly united with the original mind, because our mind are fundamentally one and the same. So he straight away understand, True mind is no two mind. You know? Everybody's nature is the same one nature. They are without thought. That is your nature. But I do not know when I will die. Jisang continued. And I do not know when I will be born again. This matter of birth and death is most pressing. Please be compassionate and help me understand. See, those who know how to request, they will know how to ask. Understand? No? Yeah. He is being very sincere. He wants the Dhamma. Then when he realized this, he still know, because it's just the beginning, he still don't know what death is. That's why he still want to understand what is death. And after that. So this part is beautiful. So the rest, we keep it for next class. We go one more class before the retreat. One more class before the retreat, can? Yeah. Your retreat is 16. So today is the 5th. 7, 12. Oh, 4th, yeah. Then 11. 11 can. Yeah, our retreat is 16. On the 11th, you go on. You can go back and read if you want to. He will help you. Okay, you can meditate. The weather is very good, very conducive. I give you maybe 30 minutes. If you want to off the light, you can.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. Sadhu. Because the power trip, yes. Yeah. So, how do you all feel, the meditation? Pass the mic out. Yeah, Mindy.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
I think it's a good training.
Yeah. Do you realize one thing or not? The moment when I mentioned about the six patriarchs teaching and all those things, then it started that rain. Then it lasts for more than half an hour. Until I finish, then we did the meditation, then it started to become very heavy. Then there were a lot of rejoicing. Because when I share Mary, transfer Mary, wow, the thunder become louder, louder. You know. And the radiation and all those things, I think there's a lot of joy. Then suddenly the power tripped. Then the fan all start to slow down. But the breeze from the rain, even the what they call the wind brings in the very fine the water, it's like dew like that, and I feel it here sitting almost 30-40 feet away. You all feel coming. And the wind was beautiful, the nature was beautiful. There is so much joy. And a lot of you must have gone into the meditative state. Because I straight away went in. Then after that I realized a lot also went in. But there are some who couldn't meditate. There are some who still move around. But for those who know how to silence their mind, relax, you will go into the meditative state. See, the wind is still very strong. Just now was something like that. But it was blowing in our direction, so that's why the breeze came in. And we feel cool. And without the fan also, it's like very well ventilated. And like Mindy say, it's a test for you. See, the alarm also went off. Ambulance, then the alarm. Then, for those who are not used to this type of external condition during meditation, when the lightning is very loud, you realize when you are unconscious inside, you will get a shock. You will like fear inside there. Means you are not aware. But you are aware in nothing. It's just the hearing consciousness, the contact from the external sense object. Upon contact, it triggers off the hearing consciousness. And at the moment of consciousness, there is nothing. It's just that phenomenon. Then you continue to be aware, aware. Just relax, aware, aware. Everything just the way it is. And there is so much understanding and joy. Okay, anybody got any meditation to report? You report and then ask questions you have. That will be very useful. Anybody? You just have to raise your hand. We pass you the mic. Just report what happened during the meditation.
how was your mind state and all those things, and how you developed the understanding of it. Ah, yes. Pass the mic to PG.
Good afternoon, Bratu, and to all Kalyanamitas. Just now when in meditation, I was very relaxed. And when I was so relaxed and
very
so
good
with the rain and the thunder, when the lightning was so strong, when the thunder was roaring
loud,
away,
very loud,
I don't even feel any fright or whatever. It seems to just roll over.
Yeah, sadhu, very good. Means your silence inside is very stable. Then you can feel what happened. You can be aware of what happened. Then you can be with the phenomena. Then you start to understand many things. But that silent mind is very different. Capable of understanding, awakening. Very good. Sadhu.
And there's one during one of the moments, thoughts start to come in. And I can see the difference. When there was thoughts and when there was thunder, I just jumped up. So I could see the difference.
Yes,
the
big
two
difference.
Times.
Big difference. Very good. That's why the key is relax. He mentioned she was very, very relaxed. If you cannot relax, you cannot settle down. Your mind will be agitated. That's why you relax body and mind. Then allow the thought to be, allow whatever to be. Then you settle down very fast. Then the original state of mind, they will arise. Because when this stirring, heedless thinking, when they start to slow down, then it will cease. The moment it ceases, your awareness will be there to be aware of this transformation or changes. Then you realize like there is nothing inside there, no thought. Then you, first time you have it, you become curious. You want to know. That's when the thought come back. So meditation is just relax, silent, to understand what goes on and what happened. It is through this silent mind, the awareness, that you can understand many things and develop the straightening of your views, the wisdom for you to live life. Otherwise, you cannot understand life. That's why it's just through that silence. Then you start to understand who you are, what you are, what this form of mind is all about, nama rupa. Then vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. Then all the various rupa, the physical form, the mental form. Because when you are aware, you start to see them. Then you start to experience the aggregate of feeling. At the moment of feeling, what happened? Your habitual tendency, how did your mind react because of your view and conditioning? So you start to see all this. Then you realize there's nobody inside. Everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Then you come to a deep understanding. He know you, he know me. It's just a physical body with senses and a consciousness trapped inside. Then this consciousness that is trapped inside will be part of the form and mind that respond to nature's phenomena. That's why your senses will make you conscious of things. Then when it is conscious, the mundane mind come in. How you stir, how you react, how you perceive all this depend on your understanding, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. If you don't have the understanding, you behave like a normal, heedless human being. That's why you think a lot. You react to sense experience. You worry a lot. Then you are not peaceful most of the time. Meditation is to silence your mind, to see all this, to understand all this. Then the form of meditation is to stabilize this awareness, this mindfulness, so that you can be heedful in the midst of life, so that your mind can enter sati. And this is what meditation is all about. If your mind cannot enter sati, it cannot understand all this. then you cannot see the essential Dhamma. You cannot understand what the Buddha is trying to share with you. So this is what the teaching is all about. Thank you so much, PG. Anything else? You continue to stabilize that silent mind. Then just let it be. Then after that, any movement, the slightest movement like magnify, you will start to know that when your mind enters a sati, it behaves differently. Then continue to stabilize it until you can be mindful in the midst of activity. Then carry it on to the daily life. Then your religious routine to be ever mindful, very important. The four posture, sati, sampajana, and all those things. First, anchor to your kaya. Then anchor to your seeing. Seeing is very easy. Specific phenomenal awareness, spacious phenomenal awareness. Then later on, your hearing also will be in sati, smell. You will come to understand all this. You will be mindful before the words, before the concept, or the what they call, before the mundane mind label it. So it's the awareness of what that thing is. It's very different. And the mind is like very different. It's just aware. That's how it can understand. Then it saw the movement, the activity, the stirring, the reaction, the chattering, the verbalization, and all those things. All these are not knowledge anymore. It's from the silent mind that see all this. Then you start to see how you feel inside. You are very sensitive. Your happy moments, your unhappy moment, your like and your dislike, your pleasant and your unpleasant sense experience. Then you realize living being is all the time like that when they don't have the Dhamma, when they don't understand. They continue to stir their mind, react to sense experience. And the habitual tendency keep on arising. So wisdom comes from the silent mind that is aware of all this. Then you start to know who you are, what this five aggregate form of mind is all about, what Vedana is all about. Then when the content of consciousness went in, how it conditioned feeling into emotion. That's why feeling is conditioned into craving. Craving is your like and dislike, attachment, clinging. Then later on, it conditioned grasping. Then becoming. Your mind state become that thing. Then when you acted out of it, you become that thing, and transgression take place, birth take place. So the becoming give rise to birth. You are born into that lust or that anger, the hatred, the violence, and all those things. So that's how transgression come about. Then from there, the whole mass of suffering comes to be, because these are evil root, root of all evil. All becoming leads to suffering. Becoming is suffering. That's why Ajahn Chah say, don't even try to become an arahant. But that becoming is suffering. That becoming is a form of mind, not you. The form of mind that exists will lead to the reality of life and existence. So the consciousness is trapped inside, will experience all of the conditioned world's activity. So without Dhamma, it will be afflicted, because you will grasp, you will cling, you will hold. You will become tormented. But when you have the Dhamma, you understand, and you are not deluded and deceived or drawn into it, then the mind just understand, at ease, accord and flow, endure, and experience everything that arises without the mind being afflicted. That is what enlightenment is all about. So the form of mind is just the form of mind, connected to the nature when you have the Dhamma. And the nature has the wisdom. That's why the form of mind is no longer deluded. will not be afflicted. So meditation is to develop this awakening, this understanding, so that the wisdom is within your nature, connected to the form and mind. And this form and mind with that wisdom will know how to live life, will know how to act, will know how to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you will understand life very clearly. Then everything will just be the way it is. Cannot be otherwise, because the understanding really liberates the mind and frees the mind. Okay? Anything to add, PJ?
Yeah, brother. Yeah. I would like to discuss something that happened. I think the day before. When I was driving back, passing by near to Atria, there was a very strong thunderstorm. The wind was so strong, all the leaves and everything to stir.
Can hear you. It's connected.
Hello.
No, you just continue to speak. Never mind.
I was driving, it's like I am just aware of the very strong wind, and I could see leaves.
Continue to speak. Just continue to speak. Yeah. Yeah, the battery is weak. It's okay. You continue to speak. We can hear you.
And that's when, like you say, the awareness before the knowing.
Yeah, it's very
just
different.
That you are just aware, and suddenly the concept comes in.
The labeling.
Suddenly you say, oh, very strong wind.
So like the verbalization. Sadhu. I think need to change battery. Thank you, Sadhu. So when you experience it in real life, then you understand the difference between the true mind and the conditioned mind, means your mundane mind. Your mundane mind needs words to interpret, to label, and to give meaning. But when you are aware, it's just that thing. That's why that thing, no word. You cannot talk about it. It's just that nature, that phenomena, that moment in the silent awareness to experience them. Then the moment the words come out means the mind has come out. But to live life, you need to use this mind. You can use it. But this mind is different from last time. You have continuously cultivated and straightened your view, then very fast, the unisop manasikara, the understanding, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is so powerful. Every moment of consciousness, you understand. Every moment of consciousness, you understand. It's not drawn. It's not deceived by the phenomenal world. Nothing can affect it. You just understand. Then everything has its beauty, pristine beauty. That's how you can experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life within the moment, no matter what it is. Like you say, the wind, the weather, the rain, the chaotic condition within nature, the very strong movement of that storm and the wind and all those things, even the leaf, they were flying all over, debris all over. But the mind that is aware, it just with it, different. Then the mind is just silent, beautiful. Then there's alertness, there's attention. Then you just drive with understanding. Then when everything ceases to be, you can reflect, contemplate. Then you start to understand what that hateful living is all about. And the mind has the ability to be aware. It is so different. Then you realize the arising of thought is not necessary. It's only useful and necessary when you want to use it. So you will only use it, like the fifth patriarch Tho Huy Ninh. You must know how to use it and yet not deceived by it. But this is the phenomenal world, the condition arising world. So this one is subject to karma. That's why this one got mental intention. This one involves the thought process and its content of consciousness. And with the Dhamma, the understanding, it will know what to do. That's why it's incapable of negativity. It just echo and flow. It just develop the understanding, keep on straightening the view. Then this form of mind become different. It can become a blessing to all. And this is what the teaching is all about. Nothing magical. Don't think that after you enlighten, you can levitate, you can fly, you can read thought. All this is, I should say, not relevant or rubbish. Because you meditate to be enlightened, to awaken, not to have all this psychic ability. You can have all this psychic ability, but you don't know how to live life. You don't know how to develop the joy, the happiness, and the peace within the moment. And you don't understand what this form of mind is all about. You're still attached, you're still worried about life. You still don't understand what life is all about. Who died, what died, after death, what happened. Like Xi Chang, he still asks. I'm still concerned with what will happen after I die. So all this, you will develop the clear understanding when you truly understand who you are, what you are, and what this consciousness is all about, and how it manifests, and how the nature's law of cause and effect, the spiritual law that governs life and existence, how they come into play. Consciousness is a very beautiful topic, an understanding that meditator, cultivator only can understand. That's why consciousness got two parts, the true mind and the mundane mind. You must understand these two. And you must know how to use. Both has its purpose. The mundane mind also has its purpose. It's for mundane living within the conditioned world. But because you, every time since you are born until now, you are only familiar with the thought process, the mundane mind. You have lost contact with the true mind. You have forgotten that you have a true mind when you are a baby. And that is the mind state you have, because your brain are not developed yet. The memory are not there yet. So it doesn't form thought. Your thought are respond to memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. So when your memory is like a baby, it is very innocent. That's why the baby is very innocent, very cute. Then it just see things as they are. But this type of mind, without the conditioning, no use. It's only when you grew up with all the conditioning, with all the memory, the accumulated memory, and yet you have the understanding of what this is, and you know how to be silent to exist like the baby. And that is the enlightened mind. Means the true mind is always there to be aware of things, to be aware of thought, to be aware of the aggregates of mind, to be aware of how the mundane mind conditions you into those mind states. Then you can see clearly how delusion come about, how wrong view condition wrong thought, then how thought with its wrong mental intention condition the wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. Then how without mindfulness you cannot understand all this. Your mind will not understand spiritual teaching, all this. So the essential Dhamma are all there. You only need to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be heedful, to understand and see clearly all this. Then your true mind can awaken. The moment it awakens, your form of mind becomes different. It will understand, very beautiful. Then you will go through the cessation of form of mind. You will realize enlightenment in the here and the now. So basically, the cultivation is very, very simple. Not what people think. And it can be done the moment you understand. You just have to have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then, sincere and diligently develop the cultivation. So three things: faith, sincerity, and perseverance. or diligence will bring forth the way. Okay. Anybody else wants to ask any question or report their meditation? You can. We still got 5 or 10 minutes, I think. Yeah, another 6 minutes. Anybody? Now the rain also stopped. Yeah, pass the mic to Mindy.
Brother Teo, I would like to share a brief experience of I visited India last 2 weeks during Chinese New Year. So it's my first time I visited the place of the Lord of Buddha, and I have a very holy experience when I visited those places. Especially the Lumbini.
The birthplace, yes.
Yes, the birthplace. Even before we cross border from India to Nepal, then I can feel the, and it's not energy, I can feel it. Become very quiet.
The nature there.
Yes, the nature. And when we arrive there, the whole area of the whole area is full of the energy. Yes, I was very touched. And then the other area, is a Bodhigaya.
The enlightenment place.
Yes, the energy there is very awakening. Yes. And then the other place which I have the strongest experience is near the Asoka Pillar. I forgot what's the name already. So we meditated in front of the stupa and the Asoka Pillar. I have experienced the nimitta. Although I meditate as usual, relaxed, but then somehow the energy is there.
It will come.
At first it's like purple color nimitta, it come and go, come and go. And then I just relax and I remember Brother Teo asked me to relax at the chest area. And then suddenly the white light come and the bright ball showered me. Very, very strong. And then at that time, the session, meditation session just over. Just leave it.
Never mind, just let it be. Well, this is the norm that can happen when you have the sensitivity and the faith. Good, sadhu. It may help you, but don't be mistaken by what happened. Don't take that as something that is a sign of awakening. No, it's just a sign that you have the condition to receive some of this. It could be a blessing or it could be some condition within nature that created the affinity. Then it just come. Then when you have faith, the spiritual faculty will enable you to receive all this. But this is supposed to help you open up your heart area. Open up your what they call physical chakra points. Then you're supposed to use it to meditate, to develop the wisdom. If you don't know how to use it to meditate, to develop the wisdom, you will not use it efficiently. Then it can go into psychic or energy field. There's sometimes people develop the faith, then after that thing come, they focus, they concentrate. Luckily, you relax into it, then something else happens. Good. So understand that it is just a condition, an affinity. But the real meditation is daily mindfulness. Always remember that. You have to relax, silence, stabilize your daily mindfulness. Then when sati become very stable, mind enters sati, your training become different. Then because of what you receive, it can help you. Help you to speed up your transformation, your understanding. But don't take all this as a sign of like progress or whatever. It is a sign that you have conditioned to receive them. But it doesn't mean anything unless you know how to use it to develop the meditation, to give rise to the wisdom, the understanding, for you to straighten your view. Then your mind will transform and become different. So this is what you need to pay attention to. because different people will experience different things in the midst of life, especially when you travel on spiritual trip. You will receive a lot of very good energy. Sometimes their nature is so beautiful, so conducive. Like Cameron Highland, if you have your affinity with those great beings, you will receive a lot of blessing. You will receive a lot of their nature's support. And without knowing it, if you have the faith, the sadha, virya, then the mindfulness and the silent mind, you will receive a lot of blessing, a lot of transformation. Alarm already there, 6 o'clock. So we have to stop. Thank you so much. We rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merit, the transfer of merit. Then we end. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 3 hours or so. And we will share all these merits with all the beings, starting from the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yao nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the worthy ones.
Express our heartfelt thanks to our Jewish brothers for the mountain of Dharma, through my divine spirit.